Hi, I'm Barry Conrad, and this is Banter with BC. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, brother.
And today I'm here with my guest, Keenan Lonsdale. Keenan, do you want to introduce yourself to the people?
Yeah, I mean, Keenan Lonsdale, that's my name. I'm a performing artist. I'm a slasher. That's what I've been called. Actually, this morning, so I was like a slasher. I'm like, yeah. Sing, dance, act, write songs. I try to bake from time to time.
Where's the cake?
There's a good amount of cake. It's gonna be baked.
Wow, it's a good drink.
On that note,
we would like to start with something called Two Truths and a Lie. Do you know how this works?
Yes.
You're up?
Yes, I do. I have 11 siblings. I've dated a guy and a girl openly at the same time with their knowledge and been dumped by both of them in a matter of a couple of weeks.
Wow.
I have a last name, Ialekwe.
Okay. I'm going to say the first one's a lie.
The 11 siblings?
Yep.
No,
that's true. Oh, really?
That's true. Yeah, I have 11 siblings.
So what?
So far. I did date two guys once openly at the same time.
Okay.
And they both dumped me after a couple of weeks.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, I mean, I wrote a lot of songs about it.
Okay, there you go.
I learned a lot.
About the first EP.
Yeah. Mainly what I've come to understand, you know, is that I didn't really know how to hold both hearts, like, in the best way that I could. You know? That's why that happened.
Recently gave up vaping. When I eat eggs, it's 10 at a time. And I walked the Great Wall of China.
Damn, I don't know.
How's your water?
Sparkling. I reckon you brought in Wes for more ammunition. I reckon that's a lie.
You reckon that's a lie? All right.
I mean, when you say it like that, but yeah, I mean, I'm hoping. Oh yeah, no, I take it back. I don't think you ever vaped.
You don't think I've ever vaped?
No, I don't think you ever like did it fully. I'm trying to picture you vaping and I just cannot see it. Like, maybe you tried it, maybe, but I don't reckon. And I could be wrong. And that's the name of the game. Risk.
I have never vaped. I never gave up vaping.
Yes! Yes! Yes, thank God I asked you again, hey, because like...
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, cheers to that.
Cheers. Just so you know, I am very shy when it comes to food.
Why?
Truthfully, it's a vulnerable story. Publicly, it's more like...
Do you like lemon?
Yeah, I'll take some lemon. It's beautiful to eat. It's beautiful to experience food and be like present in that and to see it. But oddly enough, growing up, like just the way that I did, you know, money wise, like we didn't get to restaurants or anything like that. You know, food was a different experience and we didn't always have it. And, you know, my mom worked super hard 3 months for it. Now I have a very particular thing about food. And so, but it's a testament, I'll tell you, it's a testament to your good vibe, because I'm like, you want me to do that on camera? You know what?
So like, you know what?
I'm just gonna, oh wow, this is
yeah, sick. So this is Pappardelle Master, and it's actually delicious.
It's my favorite.
It's all of every guest that I've had on here, no pressure, that's their favorite.
Cool, all right.
So,
I'll
get on in there,
just
do it. So what's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done?
Go to Berlin, because like, should I expand on that?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, all my friends were doing this like Europe trip from when they were 18 to like, you know, or through their early to mid 20s. Like, you know, I feel like Aussies go to Europe so much. Like, it's such a thing. They do that 6 week thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they're lucky to do it. And I'm like, I was always seeing this like growth that was coming from everywhere. I'm like, man, Europe seems like it's got a different vibe. Like, Berlin, especially. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Anyway, then I'm like, I want to have my 6 weeks, but honestly, I was so fortunate, but like, it's just like working so much, never got a chance to go anywhere. Yes, what is this?
Burrata. Cheers.
Okay, great. I didn't give myself holidays and I didn't really like believe in them. Is this whole thing mine? Have you already taken your half?
Oh, yours the whole thing now?
No. That's okay. Like, have you taken?
Have you? Well, you can have the whole thing if you want.
I don't know.
Go, you go.
It's gone from like, I don't even know.
Yeah, to like,
I'm just gonna have this whole
thing. Is this whole thing mine? Yeah. Are you taking yours? Yeah.
Should I be like this? Should I do those like old ice cream commercials?
No, you just go for it. That's so funny. There's one little slither. That's so funny. No, go, you go.
Yeah, all right, I'm doing it.
It's all you. So Berlin, like, and why Berlin out of all the places in Europe though?
Yeah, it's funny. I think I wanted to challenge myself, right? So I talk about like being shy with food. I was shy with like so much. And I just heard so many stories about Berlin. And I was like, I want to be broken open, like break me open. I don't want to be shy no more. Like, I was just ready. I was in a more explorative space in my life. And, okay. I definitely licked this 4K. Right, that's mine.
You're not sick, right?
No.
It's fine.
Excellent.
Go for it.
Yeah, and then like, I finally was like, cool. Actually, a work opportunity took me to...
Yeah.
Took me to France.
France is good.
And then another opportunity would have me in Spain 6 weeks later. And I'm like, that sounds like a 6 week Europe trip to me.
It does.
A film had just gotten canceled.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait. Film got canceled. I was sad about it. And then I'm like, wait, I could just do a 6 week Europe trip. Then as soon as I get there, it gets put back on. And I'm like, yes, this is great. This is awesome. Yeah, and it's even better than what I thought it was gonna be. And at the same time, I'm like, yeah, 6 week, find myself, trip. What I've been working on here, and I'm here. And I'm like, you know what? Let me ask, I got 4 days. All right, I can go to Berlin.
Mm.
And I can like, you know, I know that I can't cram 6 weeks into 4 days, but Berlin felt like you could maybe like, you know.
Yeah.
That was the spot. That seemed like the most challenging place for me to go at that time in my life.
And did you find Keenan? You said like you, that was your finding yourself trip.
I would say this, I learned how to say no in a way that was very special. And I know how to say yes in a way that's very special.
How's that play? That's a very interesting, if you can zoom into that.
What do you mean?
Look at that. Oh, I mean, it's just the combination is quite interesting. Don't you reckon?
What does this mean, right? What does this mean? Because I mix things.
Same. With this, the burrata and the tomato and the pappardelle. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
I've barely even gotten in. I've just been talking too much.
You don't eat a lot?
I can't eat really big portions, but like sometimes I'm just, especially if I'm in this, if in the zone, man.
Yeah.
If I'm in the studio or writing, or I'm so obsessed, I forget to eat. It's such a cliche story, but I do. It's just the last thing I'm thinking of, or I'm just ordering.
Uber Eats.
Yeah. Like when, especially if I'm in LA and I'm around like other musos.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not even a question. And then I get around other people and they're like, we can also cook. Oh yeah.
Can you cook?
I can make good breakfast.
Like toast, you know, butter, a good egg on top of that, or maybe some cheese.
I mean, lots of eggs, like, you know, eggs, mushrooms, kale, avocado.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll fry banana.
Nice.
Fry banana?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my best friend said it to me as a joke like 10 years ago. And I thought he was being serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it and I was like, bro, this is amazing.
But just brown it up a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm willing to try that.
Yeah. That was honestly before I was having plantains.
Oh, plantains are so good.
Yes.
They're so good.
Yeah. But yeah, I can cook all right. I really like baking.
You know what? I do too.
Mm?
Yeah. Mm. I like, mate, what's your favorite thing to bake?
Well, chocolate. I love chocolate.
Me too. Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Like if I'm having like a treat day, give me like a family sized block of chocolate and like a bag of chips and I'm happy.
I like that you said a treat day, not a cheat day.
Oh, that's very intentional. I don't say cheat. I say treat because you can't cheat on food. You don't want to demonize food. You know? You heard that?
Felt that.
People need to know that. Like, you can't cheat on food. Don't feel guilty for eating. There's no food's just different kinds of food. There's no evil or angelic food. It's not how it works. So you've been in projects like Love, Simon, The Flash, the Divergent series. What has been the most meaningful one that you've had? And why?
It just depends on the time that I did them. You know what I mean? And what they hold for me. different times is different. The significance they hold is different. I usually say Love, Simon because it was such a particular cohesion of story in the film and the work and personal life. Right after I filmed it, came out properly, you know? I mean, I came out. Okay, I didn't just like step out. I was like, yo. And then that was a whole thing, you know? And then going in and promoting the show, film. Very special because, oh, so surreal. Never thought my life was gonna go that way. Specifically planned my life not to go that way.
Really?
And
what do you mean?
An embracing of sexuality is not something I'd planned on doing. But, you know, and since then it's been such a really rich, not easy, but a really rich journey. You know, each project has sort of done that in many ways. Divergent was the first American job I ever had. I did like Australian show at Dance Academy, first acting gig, and then like a year after, like flew to America and signed onto this like 3-movie picture deal with all these crazy folks, and that changed my life.
Crazy.
It changed my life. Like, what? And then now in present day, we've got like this.
What? Tell me. Go.
It's called Swift Street.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's Swift Street? Tell us.
It's an Australian show. It's going to be on SBS. Shot that in Melbourne.
Yes.
Mostly in Preston. I get to portray a young man who is in a particular place in his life that I felt like, well, I have a whole different life. There's many parts of our journey that have really aligned and all that we have mirrored one another. And I felt I could play him to the best truth. I'd taken a bit of time from acting before I did it. And since I met the director, Tig Torreira, and I saw the work, I saw the script, but there's just every part of it was just such a phenomenal experience. And it was all like, yeah, this is right. And it's like, you know, one of Australia's first, like, mostly African-Australian led.
Wow. That's like awesome. I love that.
In this way.
That's so good.
It was very empowering. It was so fun. Scared to box, scared to play the character.
Why were you scared to do that? Because you're a physical guy, like you're physical, yeah. So it's like I was
up against just my own mind in many ways, and like I'm so grateful to that job and that character Tom, because I was like, I worked through so much through that. You know, he's working through so much, and one of those things was, you know, again, a truer sense of self and what does strength mean to me? What is masculinity to me? You know, that was a big one.
Yeah.
You know, what is sensitivity to me? What is the heart? I forgot about it. And I'd just come from a space where like all I felt compelled to do was like wear a bunch of dresses and rainbows and everything. And then I went to a whole other space, which I wasn't expecting, which is like, I just want to be in all black with my hoodie on. And like, this is where I'm at. And I then began having different wars about masculinity in my head again, but in a new way.
Like what? What sort of wars? What do you mean?
I just felt like, I honestly started not feeling man enough. So really caring about what man was. Ultimately, I was just stretching myself to go to these different limits and embracing these parts of what it is to be a man. That was almost my thing, but for some reason I overcomplicated it. I was nervous to play Tom, you know? Because I knew I would be confronting different false things, different false old patterns that I was holding on to. It's like so not relevant to me anymore, what I think or society really, you know, but in many ways, in different pockets of places, that's a massive pressure for everybody, sexuality, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think the pressure of what it is to be a man and what the journey and connection is to emotion and expression of emotion, expression of the heart, that is such a fascinating conversation. In many ways, very painful. And for Tom, it's very painful.
I feel like the constructs around that is so, it's such a conversation that needs to be had more amongst men, because what society tells you to be, this is who you are.
Yeah.
And it is changing, but it's still so old school and archaic, like just prehistoric.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and then at the same time, tell me what you think. I still feel this like urge where I'm like, I want to be tough.
Yeah.
I want to be tough and I want to be this and I want to show them.
Yeah.
I don't have any emotion like that. I just have sometimes a craving of that. And then like a pull to the complete other side, trying to make it a dance, like a nice smooth.
You can kind of, you can do both. You can, I feel like it's both. I feel like real masculinity is both things. It's not just all staunch and like, I don't care about anything. And I'm like, you know, but then it's also, I don't think it's all the way over to the other extreme of emotional sensitivity. And I think a real man, a strong man, is someone who can embrace that and be vulnerable, but then also rise to the occasion and not be, for lack of better words, like self-helpy, too invested in the emotional sensitivity part of everything, where you forget if it's innate in you.
Forget to turn it off.
Exactly. You know, and
let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Like, let's get that those fries in. You know, like, let's do it.
Let's get like, the fries in. I'm going to be vulnerable and also strong.
No, but it's true though. Like, it's, and I think it's an ongoing conversation in our industry as well, man. Like, it's a big one.
Wait, is this our water?
Is this all mine? Is this to release a mixtape called The Heart Defense? How has that creative process been compared to your first EP that you put out?
Whoa, my first EP. The first EP I ever put out isn't even online anymore. You know, it's interesting because that EP was like super dark, all black and white imagery. The next project was album, which was like the rainbow. You know? So I feel like this mixtape is like, it's just part of the process of creating harmony between these dark and light spaces in thought, expression, music, you know, or even aesthetic, like it's just a mix. I feel like even sonically, first EP was way more R&B, alternative, dark R&B, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
R&B is already a little bit emo and beautiful, but like it was full emo, you know, it was nice. And it was a lot of processing and healing. I was really proud of it. The next album was maybe, I say eccentric pop, I don't even know how to describe it. So we went everywhere.
Yeah.
So we were like, how about we just go everywhere?
That works.
We did that. That was fun.
Yeah.
And that was a lot. And this is like picking some shades from the EP and then a couple colors from the album.
The pop eccentric.
The mixtape is sonically.
It's
R&B. It's got its dark moments, but it's like, I think it's sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you write your songs more with the melody first.
Yeah.
And then you record that into your phone and then you the words sort of come out later.
Did I tell you that?
No, I did my research, man. I told you. Does that still hold true now or has that process changed as well? Like the way you make the songs, the way you write?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Through this mixtape. I mean, there's another project, which is a lot of different collaboration, and that was a unique way. But this mixtape, like four or five of the songs, including like Don't Be Such a, is the one that I had like the most fun with it on, because I think I had done it already a few times. Normally, I hum a melody when I hear the music, and then I record into my phone. I play around, I hear some of the lyrics, but for like four or five of the songs on the mixtape, I just heard the tracks. Immediately, it was like, okay, I'll write to it, or it was like 2 a.m. and I'm like, I gotta write this shit. Like,
yeah.
Put the headphones on, the mic, and just go straight in there. And sometimes I would just go line by line.
Yeah.
Still like to get a melody going, but I wanted to strengthen my freestyling abilities and trust them more. To say like, no, what you just let come out is right.
Yeah.
That's the story. Just trust it. Just go. And so that's a muscle.
I think so too.
And it was nice to flex that a bit more on this mixtape. Probably not as well as like a lot of MCs can do it, a lot of rappers. I guess it's a little inspired by that.
Yeah, I think so too. Cause it's like when you go in there, it's usually even the first vocal take. That's usually like the best because it's like your instinct. It's what's coming out. And then you go, should we just go again? You always try to find like another there, like another perfect take. But I feel like that first take or that first freestyle take is really good. Cause it's truthful, right?
It's truthful, but it's not like, I don't freestyle the whole thing and I'm like, yeah, got it.
Jay-Z. Like,
no way. No. I can do that with melodies.
Yeah.
But it would be like, okay, I just got first, fourth, 10th, 11th line, you know, like that's it. And then I'm like, let me freestyle again, knowing that that's the line four and just go, ooh, and then let the pieces fill.
Come together.
Yeah.
I have to say Crash and Don't Be Such A are the two that jumped out at me the most on first listen all the way through. What were they inspired by, those two songs? Because they're very different sonically, like completely different tempo-wise and subject matter, but what was the inspiration behind those two?
I mean, obviously I write about love, about love. Both Crash and Don't Be Such A are different expressions of a part in a relationship, confusion, you know? Crash is definitely like, I mean, it's more clear,
So yeah.
It's less abstract as maybe don't be such a
yeah.
way, but crash is like, you know, let's slow down. Let's slow down.
Just slow on down.
Crazy. I feel crazy. You feel crazy. Let's just, you know, how do we?
Yeah.
You know, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Don't be such a. And also, it was, Crash was also just like, my producer, Dan Obey, just started playing the guitar. As soon as he hit that guitar, me and actually another writer named Keenan.
Yep.
Keenan Tay.
Keenan too.
We just like, we were like, oh yeah, this is it.
This is it. Don't judge me.
And we'd written a couple tracks, but not like that. So that was awesome. But Don't Be Such A was, there was a lot more frustration.
You can hear it.
I recorded it from home.
On Logic?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I can like sort of vocal produce on Logic.
Very nice.
Enough to get the demos going.
Mm-hmm.
And then for this project, my engineer is Pax on the beat. So I basically get it to a sound and a space that I'm like, this is the world.
You
know, some of them I'm like, I don't know, fully the world, but
yeah.
I think with this mixtape, they're pretty much, they have their sound and then his task and ours together while I'm sort of like trying to, you know, steer some things, and then he takes it to a harder level in terms of quality of the sound. I don't know, you know, once you start in your room and then you're with another person,
yeah.
It's like, you know, the right touches to add are so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can often like see it like blind spots and like, hey, let's tweak that, make that better,
yeah.
or cut that.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I'm like, no, you don't cut that because da 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 da. And then I go,
the key there.
And I'm like, yo, he was right. It's totally right.
He was right.
He was absolutely right. But sometimes you can't hear it until you gotta just like, I'm trying to learn always to recognize like what is me holding on to a demo versus what is me holding on to a crucial element. Like that element is crucial because here and that's for sure. And other times you can just let it go.
Are you a perfectionist?
No.
The reason why I asked that is because you were saying sometimes you find it hard to like, okay, what am I, is this important to keep in the song or is it just my ego? What is it? Mm. And so perfectionism was like, I need to keep everything from the demo. So
I would say yes and no.
Okay.
Because I've always actually answered yes. This is the first time I answered no. It's a lot of firsts today.
There you go. All right.
Just seeing things a bit differently.
It's good.
I would say no. Like I say, I have definitely been a perfectionist.
Yeah.
What did I write? I wrote something today actually. I'm like, I'm very particular. Like when I know we've found something worth having that attention to detail.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily perfection, like it's gotta be perfect, because I realize, and this mixtape also helped, but realizing like, it will never be a perfect thing, right? Because I'll come listen the next day, you know. Things always stick out and change, but I've gotten way better at being like, it's not perfect, but it's time.
I like that.
It's time. Therefore, here it is. This is what it is. I think it's cool. And sometimes I'm like, I got other songs, or I got this over here to like, feel this thing out with. I like where this sits, or I like the marks and the bruises. It's fun, I guess. Doesn't have to be a mixtape to be like this, but like I intentionally kept a lot of the messy stuff because
I get it.
Yeah, because I was like, I just feel like that's what. It'll, you
know, yeah, the feeling, right? Like
it's part of the environment of what helped to make the song come together. And sometimes you want to hide that because you want to create a different experience and a fantasy or something, or you know, other world musically. But other times you want that's your environment. You want it.
I love that. So what's something that you're not very good at?
I would love to say I'm a really great cook. And I'll say spiritually, yes. Yep. I'm all right, but I don't do it enough. And I don't have that flow that I see like other people just like flow.
Like what do you mean a flow? Like what do you mean? Like what are you trying
sometimes
to make?
Sometimes I have a flow. It's like a flow state of cooking. It's not being like, made this amazing thing. I can feel that way with baking. But yeah, not great at that. Not like the best swimmer.
Really?
Not the best at riding a bike, you know?
You can't ride a bike?
I can, man. I can't ride a bike. I can.
Because one of my mates was like, he's always like giving me shit saying, black people can't swim. I'm like, that's a stereotype.
I know. I actually live to that stereotype. Like, I live to it. Can't float. Love the fried chicken. Like, that's what brought me back from.
You like fried chicken?
Love it.
You make
fried chicken.
That's really good too.
Amazing, all right. Sticks till we hang, that's what's happening.
Why didn't you bring a baking offering. If you're like, I'm really, because you've said baking like maybe 5 times today. So I feel like you want me to know that.
No, I'm trying to put pressure on myself to actually bake more. Because now that the mixtape's coming out, I'm like telling myself, well, yeah, the work's done.
To
make now.
Maybe you could have like, you know, your performances and then have like a bake sale on the side of the stage. We got merch, we got cake, we got
cookies,
brownies.
Yeah. Special brownies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
you know what? Have you had some of this?
No. Let's do it.
Just keep on eating.
Thank you.
How has having an Nigerian father and an Australian Irish Danish mother helped affect your view of the world?
Oh, it's so nuanced, hey. I do love my view on the world. I do love recognizing humanity and unity and what binds us together. I can see what separates us. Sometimes it sucks.
Yeah.
But I can see and I can feel and I believe in what unites us. And my dad and I, we've only really like passed like 2 years.
Really?
Started a relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but he was there, you know. Wasn't there. And I was like, chill with it. I was like, my mom's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been an interesting and beautiful journey getting to, you know, put some work into that and learn more about something that I didn't have there when I was growing up.
Mm.
Also like my siblings, like some of my siblings were born over there. The culture, the food, the dancing, you know. And then you have my mom, who was like such a warrior.
Mm.
They're both at different times, but you know, in particular my mom, she was there. Imparted such like crazy gifts. And that's why I'm here today.
Mm.
And I think, you know, my view on the world being a place where like it is really messed up in so many ways. But also look at all the gifts, utilize those gifts to make it even greater.
Yeah.
Much greater. Not even just a little bit, but way better, you know? Mum was like, dream, like, you know, like, so special, so cute. And there's parts of my life where I didn't really appreciate it as much, I didn't understand. And I was, you know, quickly humbled. And, you know, the power of a parent giving a gift of belief is so important for everyone, you know?
Yep.
Not to make you believe in something crazy.
You are a really good cook. Keep on cooking. So.
No, actually, I wish she said that. I wish she was like, get in the kitchen more, you know?
You know when your parents tell the kids like, it was so amazing. Like, you know, when they perform, like, it was terrible. Like, why are you, like, if they're good, you should nurture that. But if they're not, then what are you?
Oh yeah, I mean, my mom was like, when I was like, trying to learn how to sing.
Hmm. What?
She probably was like, I didn't say that. But she absolutely walked past my door once and she was like, what are you doing?
what are you doing? I'm singing.
I'm practicing to sing. She's like, I know. But it doesn't sound good.
That is hilarious. That's so funny.
I'm like, I know, Mom. Go, I'm working on it. Please. And she's like, I'm just saying. Because normally she's just like, you know, hyping me up. But she's kept it real with me.
That's funny.
So the moment when she was like, you sound really good, you know?
I was
like, yeah, good. Okay, cool. That's when I put myself out there a bit more with the music, you know? But also I had worked on it a lot.
She sounds funny.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not saying, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
I'm trying hurting. To help you.
Yeah,
help
like,
you. Yeah. It hurts the ears. So like,
it's like, can you hear the dogs? Yeah.
That's so funny.
I'm so glad you like Don't Be Such A.
Why?
Because I don't think I've made a song like that, and I don't know, it's just different on, it's different on there. I'm okay.
I like how you're like sitting there like eating out of the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I like it because it was, you could feel what was behind it, and I love the pre-chorus, like the progression a lot. It was very hooky, even though it's very emotional song, you can tell it's based on experience. It jumped out of me for like straight away, it stuck. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I really like it. You're singing, man. You're singing on that track.
Singing.
It's good. Keenan, what cheers you up on a bad day? Birds?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Birds, they're a good reminder, you know, when they're like, they're singing, you're like, oh yeah, thank you. And then, you know what I did today? So I started to feel a bit weird. I think I was just lots going on.
Why?
Just lots going on. Mixtape.
Yeah.
Mixtape.
Banter with BC, you know.
Performances, like banter. Yeah, actually, you know, because I like to come on and be intentional, and I'm like, no, I don't always do that. And I was just feeling like, man, what am I feeling? Funky? Yeah, I feel good. Just went training, did this. Good day. And then I was there with the plants because we have this nice little garden in our home, this like light world garden. I don't spend nearly enough time there. Spent some good time with the plants today, all kinds of plants.
Nice.
And then just danced. I just started moving because I realized, oh, I have a lot of energy. And I think I've been doing particularly like a lot of work, you know, vocally, body-wise, everything. A lot of stuff's been coming up with me.
Yeah.
You know, emotionally too. And I'm in a good place, but you know, like I used to fall deep into really sad spots.
Really?
To deep spots, you know, welling things up a lot. And so I can recognize when those feelings are there. And that's why I love dance, because it reminds me like, there's nothing wrong with these feelings. You just gotta know what to do with them. For me, in my case, I have to move them. I have to move them around. And thank God I do, and thank God I have that reminder actually, because doing it, smoke a J, moving around, dance with the plants, listen to music, you're like, cool, it's a meditation.
Yeah.
And it just connects back to earth. It connects back to like, it's grounding, right? It connects back to self. And it's like, okay, I can get out of my head and into my body.
Yeah.
That's the best thing for me to do. Aside from that, if I'm super, super sad, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. It's a wrap.
Like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm just like, let me like have some chocolate. Let me like curl up and just
What's your favorite chocolate? Bed. Like your go-to, like this is always going to be really good. Well, it never lets me down.
A chocolate muffin never lets me down. Like a triple.
I mean, I've had a bad one. From where? Like you bake it? Are you talking about like a store-bought situation?
I mean, sometimes they slap, but not in a good way. You know, like, but it's like also, wow. But no, like really good ones. I mean, like, you know, and I can generally tell from the outside, if I'm super desperate, like I'll get that chocolate muffin. And I'll no, it's not going to be good. But I don't really do that as much anymore. I'm just like, all right. So that I always know is good, but I like to explore with my chocolate bars. So I love to just come upon a brand new bar, a brand new flavor, never tried. Like, all right, you know, because I think, yeah, I found out
what?
Through my dad that my grandpa used to run a cacao farm. Like,
see, it's in the mix. It's in the sauce.
Yeah. So
there you go.
Whoa. That's why. Oh, cool. Glad I'm getting to know you, Dad. Because like I've been obsessed with chocolate for a while.
So let's taste it then. Let's bring it on next time.
Yes.
Or when we hang, definitely.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
That is really interesting. Like
chocolate.
It's wild,
DNA.
Right? Because I'm like, I do want to. I'm actually super passionate about it.
A chocolate.
Yeah.
Me
but
too.
But I haven't learned enough. You probably know more than me in certain ways, like
how to eat it.
About your,
yeah.
No, tell me about your chocolate. You know.
I love Cadbury. I love Whittaker's. Is my favorite.
They're good.
Because it's bigger too. Cadbury's. I feel like it's shrunk. I mean, no shade to Cadbury, but it's just like I do love like caramel or Cadbury top deck. I'm Turkish delight, but I do love my Whittaker's because it's bigger and really good produce. God, it's
interesting. Like the coconut.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please sponsor us.
Can you please Whittaker's? Come on.
Yeah,
that's where it's at.
You know, it's good too. The Tony's. Is it Tony's?
Yeah, the salted caramel.
That's very good. I haven't had the salted caramel.
That's gonna change your life. Really? You should get some after this.
Wow. Their chocolate is great.
Maybe chocolatier is a side hustle in your future.
No, for sure. It is. I literally have a song on my first album called Chocolate because I said to the co-writers that day, I said, look, what are you going to? What are you feeling? Like, how do you want to express it? I said, I want to write a song about chocolate. They were like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I don't, maybe we won't. You know, we don't have to do it. But if we can.
Yeah, that's funny.
It would be great. And at the end, you know, I'm saying like, life is chocolate, you know? Chocolate's key. And
I like that.
Yeah.
Put in your Instagram bio. Chocolate is the key. Life is chocolate.
Life is chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Because I always overthink the bio.
Just why?
Walk in with that.
Why do you overthink it?
Oh, I just change it sometimes. Or I just like leave it. But I'm like, that's a nice, I feel like that's something that can just stay there for a long time. And it always feels relevant.
It's universal.
It's universal and it's loving and it
loving.
It's also.
It's loving. It's true. It is. It is true. Yeah. It is true.
Yes. It's the truth.
And that's actually super surprising to me that you said that you overthink it, because you come off as someone who does whatever they want and you don't overthink, which is interesting.
Do I actually?
Well, I think on like your choices that you've made in the past, or like the bold choices and you're out there. Yeah,
I have my moments. I'm Sagittarius. You know? I'm still Sag.
What does that mean?
Sagittarius are like, I think we're wild, you know, like we are free. We just like, you know, we can be impulsive. Certain lots of people, but
yeah,
like we're called to adventure.
Yeah,
you can be super 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 loyal, I think, to a fault at times. But we are just like, we love to experience new.
Yeah, I'm Pisces. I don't know what that means, but that's what I'm.
I have to go deeper with understanding Pisces to be able to say it back to you.
And to finish things off, I'm gonna hit with some fast trivia. You ready for this?
Sure.
The name of the most famous dish in Nigeria is called
jollof rice.
Yep, correct. Which artist is referred to as the king of R&B and is one of the best-selling artists of all time, with 80 million records sold worldwide?
It's gotta be Usher.
Correct.
Oh, thank God.
On a streak. Who wrote the novel that Love, Simon is based on?
Becky Albertower. I'm gonna butcher her last name. Becky. She is the sweetest woman. And to know that that story came from her, and to get to work with her then, and she was always on the set of the film every day, like as much as she could be. And that's why, along with everyone else that worked in that film, that's why like it had so much love and honor for creating that book, you know, turned into something so wild.
Final question. Zoe Saldana's film debut was in which dance movie?
Oh, Sun and Stage.
Too easy. Made it too easy for you.
No, you took care of me. Yeah. Thank you.
Keenan, thanks so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You do that again? Stream the Heart Defense mixtape now.
If you love this episode of Banter with BC, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you next time.